A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
A listener in Jerusalem wrote in, they're renting. They're refilling jugs every night in the fridge, and they want something better. Specifically, they're looking for a standalone cold water dispenser, 5 liters or bigger, that plugs in, doesn't need plumbing, and can sit on a counter or floor without drilling into anything. And they want to know what's actually on the market that'll handle a Jerusalem summer. This is one of those problems where the solution seems like it should be obvious, and then you start looking and realize the whole category is a minefield.
It's a perfect example of a gap between what renters need and what the appliance industry assumes about you. The industry default is either you own your home and can install a plumbed-in unit, or you're in an office with a water delivery service and a freestanding cooler in the break room. The renter who wants cold water on demand without modifying the kitchen falls right through the cracks. And in Jerusalem, where May temperatures are already hitting 35 degrees and August heat waves push past 38, this isn't a luxury question. It's a daily quality of life issue.
The listener's current system, refilling jugs every night, has a certain low-tech dignity to it. But it's also the hydration equivalent of hand-washing laundry. You're doing constant maintenance for something that should be automated.
The fridge jug method has a built-in failure mode you forget one night, and the next day you're drinking tap water that's been sitting in pipes that are basically solar heated. Jerusalem tap water in August comes out of the cold tap at about 25 degrees. That's not refreshing, that's tea temperature.
Let's unpack what's actually out there, because the market is more nuanced than you might think.
The core question is deceptively simple. We need a self-contained cold water dispenser with a reservoir of 5 liters or more, no plumbing connection, plug-in operation. And when you start mapping that requirement onto actual products, you discover the market splits into 3 categories pretty cleanly. Category 1, countertop bottled water coolers. These use standard 3 to 5 gallon jugs. That's roughly 11 to 19 liters. Sit on your counter and plug into a wall outlet. Category 2, freestanding bottom load dispensers. Same jug system, but the jug goes in a cabinet at the bottom so you're not hoisting 19 kilos of water onto your counter. Category 3 is where the technology choice really matters, and this is the split between compressor-based cooling and thermoelectric cooling.
Before we get into the physics of that, let's talk about why a simple fridge jug fails the listener's actual requirement. The prompt is asking for cold water throughout the day, on demand, without waiting for a bottle to chill. A 5-liter jug in a fridge takes hours to reach serving temperature because of thermal mass, and once you pour from it, you're replacing the cold water you took with warm air, which slows the re-chilling process even further. You can't pour continuously and expect consistent temperature.
The fridge is a batch chiller, not a dispenser. A dedicated water cooler is designed for throughput. It has a cold water reservoir that's actively chilled and replenished as you dispense. So when you pour a glass, the unit immediately starts cooling the replacement water that flows in from the jug. That's the fundamental architecture difference. It's not just about having cold water somewhere in the house, it's about having a system optimized for the dispensing cycle.
The fridge jug is the musical equivalent of beige wallpaper. It works, everyone uses it, nobody's proud of it.
And the listener is asking for something that actually performs. So let's get into the technology split, because this is where most people get tripped up. To understand why some coolers work and others don't, we need to start with the physics of how they actually chill water.
I'm ready to be educated. Try not to make my brain overheat.
I'll keep it at a steady 5 degrees. So there are 2 fundamentally different cooling mechanisms in these plug-in dispensers. The first is compressor cooling, which is what your refrigerator uses. It's a vapor compression cycle. A refrigerant like R34A or R600 circulates through a closed loop, getting compressed into a hot high-pressure gas, condensed into a liquid that releases heat, then expanded through a valve where it evaporates and absorbs heat from the water tank. The key number here is something called the coefficient of performance, or COP. A typical compressor cooler has a COP of about 2.5 to 3.0. That means for every watt of electricity you put in, it moves 2.5 to 3 watts of heat energy out of the water.
It's leveraging physics to do more work than the electricity alone could do.
It's not creating cold, it's moving heat. And it does it efficiently. The second mechanism is thermoelectric cooling, also called Peltier cooling. This uses a solid-state device, a Peltier chip, that creates a temperature differential when you run current through it. One side gets cold, the other side gets hot. You attach the cold side to a heat sink that chills the water, and you put a fan on the hot side to dissipate the heat. No compressor, no refrigerant, no moving parts besides the fan.
That sounds elegant. Why isn't everything thermoelectric?
Because the COP of a thermoelectric cooler is abysmal, typically 0.5 to 0.8. It's 3 to 5 times less efficient than a compressor. And more importantly for our listener, the cooling performance is fundamentally limited by the ambient temperature. A Peltier chip can only maintain a temperature differential of about 15 to 20 degrees Celsius between its hot side and cold side.
If the hot side is sitting in a Jerusalem kitchen that's 35 degrees,
then the cold side can't drop below about 15 to 20 degrees. In practice, during a heat wave, a thermoelectric cooler delivers water that's maybe 18 degrees. That's barely cooler than the tap. It's the hydration equivalent of a lukewarm handshake. The manufacturer might claim it chills to 10 degrees, but that's tested in an air-conditioned room at 22 degrees ambient. Take it to 35 degrees and the performance falls off a cliff.
Thermoelectric is the glockenspiel of corporate approachability. It sounds good on paper, but in practice it's just...
And this is the number one misconception I see in reviews and forums. People buy a $50 thermoelectric countertop unit, plug it in during July, and then leave one-star reviews saying, doesn't get cold. The unit is working exactly as designed. The physics just doesn't support the use case.
Which means, for a Jerusalem renter, thermoelectric is essentially a false economy. You save money on the purchase and on electricity, but you don't get cold water.
You end up buying twice. Let's talk about compressor coolers specifically, because that's where the listener should be looking. A compressor-based countertop unit like the Avalon A1 or the Brio Clarity will chill water to about 4 to 7 degrees Celsius. It takes 15 to 20 minutes to bring a full cold tank down to temperature from room temperature, and then it cycles on and off to maintain it. These units typically have a cold water reservoir of 2 to 4 liters inside the machine, even though the jug on top might hold 19 liters. That reservoir is the bottleneck. Once you dispense 4 liters of cold water quickly, you're waiting for the next batch to chill.
The 5-liter minimum the listener mentioned is about the jug capacity. But the actual cold water available at any moment is more like 2 to 4 liters.
That's the key distinction. And for one or two people drinking water throughout the day, a 4-liter cold tank is plenty. It replenishes fast enough that you're unlikely to run out unless you're filling multiple bottles for a hike. But the compressor itself isn't silent. The Avalon A1 runs at about 45 decibels when the compressor is active. That's roughly the level of a quiet conversation or refrigerator hum. In a small Jerusalem apartment where the kitchen and living space are often the same room, that hum is noticeable.
I've lived with a compressor cooler in an apartment. You get used to it, but it's definitely present. It's not white noise machine territory, but it's also not something you can ignore if you're sitting 3 feet away trying to read.
The power draw is worth understanding. A compressor cooler pulls about 100 to 150 watts when it's actively cooling. It doesn't run continuously. It cycles based on the thermostat, but in a hot summer, it might run 8 to 10 hours total per day. At Israeli electricity rates of about 47 agarot per kilowatt hour, that works out to roughly 50 to 60 shekels a month added to your bill. That's about 15 to 25 US dollars depending on exchange rates and exact usage patterns. A thermoelectric unit would cost half that in electricity, but again, you're paying for lukewarm water.
The trade-off is real. You're paying for performance. Let's get specific about products, because the listener wants to know what to actually buy.
In the countertop compressor category, the two names that dominate are Avalon and Brio. The Avalon A1 is a top-loading countertop cooler that takes standard 3 or 5 gallon jugs. As of May 2026, it's priced around $200. It uses compressor cooling, chills to about 5 degrees, has a cold water reservoir of roughly 3 liters, and also dispenses hot water if you want it. Most of these units do. The Breel Clarity is very similar in specs and price, around $180 to $200, with a slightly different aesthetic and some models offering a bottom-load option.
Both of these are top-load, meaning you're hoisting a 19-kilogram jug onto a counter and flipping it upside down into the unit. That's not nothing. A full 5-gallon jug weighs about 19 kilos, which is roughly 42 pounds. That's the maximum recommended weight for most countertop cabinetry without reinforcement.
That's an excellent point. If you have standard rental-grade kitchen counters, often particle board with a laminate surface, you need to check whether they can support that weight long-term. 19 kilos concentrated on a small footprint over months can cause sagging. The alternative is a freestanding bottom-load dispenser. These are floor-standing units, about waist-high, and the jug goes into a cabinet at the bottom. A pump pulls the water up to the cooling reservoir. No heavy lifting above shoulder height. Models like the Primo 61184 or the Igloo FR320 are in the same price range, about $180, and they use compressor cooling with similar performance.
They take up floor space. In a Jerusalem rental kitchen, floor space might be more precious than counter space.
That's the trade-off. A countertop unit is about 12 to 14 inches wide and 14 to 16 inches deep. It fits on a counter but makes that counter unusable for anything else. A freestanding unit is about the same footprint but sits on the floor, so you're giving up a square foot of kitchen real estate. In a typical Jerusalem apartment where the kitchen might be 60 square feet total, that's a meaningful decision.
The Igloo FR320. What's the specific performance on that one?
It's a bottom-load compressor unit around $180 with a 4-liter cold tank. Users report it takes about 25 minutes to chill a full tank from room temperature. It dispenses cold, hot, and room temperature water. The compressor noise is similar to the Avalon in the 40 to 45 decibel range. One thing I'll note, the Igloo brand name is licensed. It's not the same company that makes the coolers you take to the beach. The water dispensers are manufactured by a different company under license. Quality control is generally fine, but don't expect the same build as a commercial unit.
Both of these, the Avalon and the Igloo, are designed for the North American market, which means 110 volts.
This is crucial for the Jerusalem listener. Products ordered from Amazon US will require a voltage converter. Israel runs on 220 volts, 50 hertz. A step-down converter that can handle 150 watts continuously is going to cost another $30 to $50 and adds a bulky box to your setup. The better approach is to buy a 220-volt version from a local retailer. KSP and Bug, both major electronics chains in Israel, carry Primo and Igloo units in 220-volt configurations. But be prepared for a markup. The same unit that costs $180 on Amazon US might run you 900 to 1200 shekels locally, which is about $250 to $330. That's a 20 to 30% premium for local voltage compatibility and warranty support.
If something breaks, you're not shipping a 19-kilo appliance back to the US.
Local warranty support is worth the premium for something with a compressor that runs daily in a hot climate. Now, there's another category worth mentioning. The dispenser-less option. These are insulated water dispenser bottles with a built-in thermoelectric cooling element. Think of a 5-liter beverage dispenser with a Peltier chip in the base. The Kooluli Mini Fridge Dispenser is an example priced around $80. It's small, portable, doesn't need a jug. But it only holds about 2 liters of cold water at a time, and it's thermoelectric, so in a Jerusalem summer it'll deliver water at around 18 degrees.
It fails on both capacity and temperature. That's not a solution. That's a decorative object that hums.
It's a product for air-conditioned offices in moderate climates, not for a Jerusalem rental in August. Which brings us to the second major misconception I want to bust, and it's related. People think they can use a mini-fridge to chill water and get the same result. Mini-fridges are designed for food storage. They maintain temperature, they don't rapidly chill. Putting a 5-liter bottle in a mini-fridge takes 4 to 6 hours to get it cold, and every time you open the door to pour, you lose cold air. There's no dispensing mechanism. You're just storing a big bottle in a small fridge, which is what the listener is already doing, just with a dedicated appliance.
It's like buying a second worse fridge to solve a problem your first fridge already handles poorly.
Mini-fridges are often thermoelectric too, by the way. The small cube fridges that plug into a USB port or a 12-volt outlet are almost all Peltier-based. They're designed for keeping snacks cool, not for chilling room temperature water to drinking temperature quickly.
We've established the technology split and the product landscape, but cooling performance is only half the story. Once you've picked a technology, you have to live with the unit day to day.
This is where the maintenance question comes in, because standing water in a reservoir that's kept at 5 degrees for months at a time is a perfect environment for biofilm. Bacteria and algae will eventually colonize any surface that's consistently wet, even at cold temperatures. The cold slows growth but doesn't stop it. Every 2 to 3 months, you need to clean the unit, run a vinegar solution or a commercial cleaning solution through the system, scrub the reservoir if it's accessible, and wipe down all the surfaces that contact water.
How many people actually do this?
Based on user reviews and forum discussions, maybe 10 to 20% of owners clean their coolers on any regular schedule. The rest wait until the water starts tasting off, and by then there's already a biofilm established. The off taste is literally the metabolic byproducts of bacteria. It's not dangerous in most cases. These aren't pathogens, they're environmental bacteria. But it's not pleasant, and it contributes to the misconception that bottled water coolers are inherently unsanitary. They're not. They just require maintenance that most people skip.
Like adopting a feral cat. The cat's fine, you just have to actually take care of it.
That's a surprisingly apt comparison, and the cleaning process isn't complicated. You empty the unit, fill the reservoir with a solution of one part, white vinegar to three parts, water, run it through the dispensing taps, let it sit for half an hour, then flush with clean water until the vinegar taste is gone. Commercial cleaning packets are available too, usually citric acid-based, and they cost about $10 for a pack of four. The whole process takes maybe 45 minutes, four times a year.
That's less maintenance than the listener's current system of refilling jugs every night, when you add up the time.
Nightly jug refilling is probably 10 minutes a day, washing, filling, rearranging the fridge. That's about 5 hours a month. Quarterly cooler cleaning is 45 minutes every 3 months. The time savings alone justifies the purchase.
Let's talk about water sourcing, because this is a hidden cost. The listener needs to get water into the jug somehow.
In Jerusalem, the options are delivery services or self-fill. A water delivery service for 19-liter jugs runs about 30 shekels per jug in Jerusalem proper. If you're drinking 2 to 3 liters a day, which is reasonable in summer, that's a jug every 6 to 9 days. Call it 4 jugs a month, 120 shekels. That's about $33 a month just for the water. The alternative is refilling 5-liter bottles from the tap and pouring them into the cooler's jug. Jerusalem tap water is hard, about 250 to 300 milligrams per liter of calcium carbonate, so you'll get mineral buildup in the cooler over time. That means more frequent descaling. But the water itself is perfectly safe and costs essentially nothing.
The delivery service is paying for convenience and softer water, basically.
Some delivery services offer mineral or spring water, which has a different taste profile. But if the listener is currently refilling jugs from the tap and is fine with the taste, they can keep doing that and just pour into the cooler. The cooler doesn't care where the water comes from. One thing to note, if you're using a top-load cooler, you're pouring water into an inverted jug. That's a two-person job if the jug is full and heavy. Bottom-load units are easier here because you just set the jug in the cabinet and a pump does the work.
For a single person or someone who doesn't want to wrangle 19-kilo jugs overhead, bottom load has a real ergonomic advantage.
You're trading floor space for ergonomics. There's no free lunch in water cooler design. Let me give you a concrete case study that illustrates the sweet spot. A renter in Tel Aviv, similar climate to Jerusalem, similar apartment constraints, bought the Brio Clarity countertop compressor cooler with a 19-liter jug. They placed it on a reinforced section of counter near a dedicated outlet. They refilled the jug themselves every 5 to 7 days from a 5-liter tap-filled bottle. They report getting consistent 5-degree water even during a 38-degree heat wave last August. The compressor cycles on for about 8 minutes every hour to maintain temperature. Their electricity bill went up by about 40 shekels a month. They clean the unit with vinegar every 2 months. And they've been running this setup for 2 years without issues.
That's the gold standard outcome. What about the failure case?
The failure case is someone buying a thermoelectric Kulula unit for $80, putting it in their unair-conditioned kitchen in July, and getting water at 18 degrees. They leave a one-star review, swear off water coolers forever, and go back to the fridge jug method thinking the whole category is a scam. The product worked exactly as its physics allowed. The buyer just didn't know the physics.
Which is why we're doing this episode. The information gap between I want cold water and I understand vapor compression cycles is where the disappointment lives.
It's not the consumer's fault. The marketing for these products deliberately blurs the distinction. A thermoelectric unit will say cools to 10 degrees below ambient in fine print while the headline says ice cold water. A compressor unit will say chills to 4 degrees without mentioning the 45 decibel hum. Both categories are optimizing their marketing for the same search terms, and the average buyer can't tell them apart from the product photos.
Covering the covers. Nobody tells you what's underneath.
So let's talk about what the listener should actually do now that we've mapped the landscape. The decision tree has three branches. Branch 1, compressor countertop unit. This is the best fit for the listener's stated needs. The Avalon A1 or Brio Clarity in a 220-volt version, purchased from an Israeli retailer for warranty support. Budget about 1,000 to 1,200 shekels. You need sturdy counter space, a nearby outlet, and either a water delivery service or a willingness to refill the jug yourself. You'll get water at 4 to 7 degrees year-round, regardless of ambient temperature. Electricity cost is about 50 shekels a month in summer, less in winter. Branch 2, compressor freestanding bottom load unit. Same cooling performance, but no heavy lifting onto the counter. The Igloo FR320 or Primo 6ON 84 in 220 volt. Same price range, same electricity cost. You're giving up about a square foot of floor space permanently. This is the better choice if you have back issues or if your countertops are flimsy rental grade particle board that can't handle 19 kilos long term.
Branch 3 is the fallback for people who can't justify either.
Branch 3, skip the electricity entirely. Buy a high-quality insulated jug. The Stanley 3.8-liter vacuum-insulated growler is about $40. Fill it with ice and water in the morning, and it'll stay cold for 24 hours. No compressor, no electricity, no cleaning beyond washing the jug. It's not on-demand dispensing, but it's cold water all day for $40 instead of $200-plus ongoing costs. For a renter who might move in 6 months or who simply doesn't have the counter or floor space, this is the rational choice.
The Stanley Growler is the Toyota Hilux of hydration. Unsexy, indestructible, gets the job done.
It works in a heat wave, in a power outage, during a move, on a hike. No single point of failure except you forgetting to put ice in it. The listener's current system of nightly jug refills is essentially a poor man's version of this. The insulated jug just does it better by keeping the cold in.
After all that, what should our listener actually buy? Let's boil it down to actionable recommendations.
If you have the counter space and the budget, get a compressor countertop cooler. Specifically, the Avalon A1 or Brio Clarity in 220 volt from an Israeli retailer. That's your best match for the prompt's requirements. You'll get on-demand cold water at 5 degrees, a cold tank of about 3 to 4 liters, and the ability to dispense multiple glasses in a row without waiting. Budget about 1,000 to 1,200 shekels for the unit, plus either 30 shekels per jug for delivery or free if you self-fill from the tap. Clean it every 2 to 3 months with vinegar. That's the setup.
If the counter can't handle the weight or you can't lift 19 kilos,
then the freestanding bottom load unit, Igloo FR320 or Primo 60184, also in 220 volt from a local retailer. Same price, same performance, different physical footprint. The pump that lifts water from the bottom jug is an additional point of failure, but these pumps are generally reliable for years of daily use.
If both of those are too much,
Stanley insulated growler, 3.8 liters, $40. Fill it with ice and water in the morning.
I want to flag something that didn't come up in the product discussion, but matters for the future. We're talking about units that chill water from a jug. But the market is slowly moving toward countertop reverse osmosis systems with built-in chillers. These filter tap water and chill it in one unit, no jugs at all. they're still expensive, $500 and up, and most of them require a connection to the cold water line under the sink, which brings us back to the renter problem. But there are a few tankless countertop RO systems emerging that you fill manually, like a kettle, and they filter and chill on demand.
The Waterdrop K9 is one I've seen. It's a countertop RO system with a 3-liter tank, no installation. Just plug it in and fill the tank from a pitcher. It filters, chills, and dispenses. But it's around $400, and the filter replacements are $60 to $80 every 6 months. That's a much higher total cost of ownership than a jug cooler. For a renter who might move in a year or two, it's hard to justify the upfront investment.
The simple compressor unit with a jug is still the sweet spot. It's mature technology, it's repairable, and if you move, you take it with you and plug it in at the next place.
The jug infrastructure is universal. Every city in the world has some way to get 5-gallon water jugs. The cooler itself is the only specialized component. That's a resilient system.
One thing we haven't addressed is the hot water side. Most of these units dispense hot water too, like near boiling hot, for tea or instant soup. For Jerusalem winter, that's actually useful. Those few weeks in January and February, when the apartment is somehow colder inside than outside, and you want tea without boiling a kettle.
The hot water tank is usually about 1 liter, heated by a separate element, and it draws about 400 to 500 watts when it's maintaining temperature. You can usually switch off the hot water function to save electricity during summer. Most units have separate switches for hot and cold.
You're not paying to keep water hot in August.
And that's the kind of practical detail that makes a difference in the monthly bill. Speaking of which, let me put some numbers on the total cost of ownership for the compressor countertop route. Unit, 1,200 shekels, one time. Electricity, about 50 shekels a month in summer, maybe 20 in winter, so call it 400 shekels a year. Cleaning supplies, 20 shekels a year for vinegar. Water, either free from the tap or about 120 shekels a month for delivery. So your annual cost is either about 420 shekels if you self-fill, or about 1,800 shekels if you use delivery. The delivery service is the dominant cost by far.
Which means the listener's current habit of filling from the tap is actually saving them a significant amount. They're just doing it in the least convenient way possible.
The cooler makes that same tap water available cold on demand. It's a one-time purchase that upgrades the convenience without changing the water source.
We've given the listener a pretty clear path. Compressor cooler, local 220-volt version, clean it quarterly, and either self-fill or pay for delivery. But I'm curious, what do you think the next 2 or 3 years look like for this category? Are we going to see better renter-friendly options?
I think we'll see two trends converge. First, countertop RO systems with instant chilling will come down in price as the technology matures. Once they hit the $300 mark, they start competing directly with jug coolers plus delivery service. The break-even against delivery is about 2 years. Second, I think we'll see smart features. Wi-Fi connectivity, water consumption tracking, filter life monitoring, trickle down from the premium commercial units to the consumer space. There's already a WaterLogic unit with an app that tells you how much you've drunk today and when to change the filter. That's overkill for a home user, but the technology is getting cheaper.
The quantified self people will love it. I consume 2.3 liters today. My hydration score is 82.
The rest of us will ignore the app after the first week and just enjoy the cold water. But the real innovation I want to see is a compressor unit designed specifically for renters. Something with a smaller footprint, a handle for moving, quick connect jugs that don't require flipping, and modular components that can be replaced without tools. The current designs are still basically office water coolers shrunk down. Nobody has really rethought the form factor for the residential renter.
The IKEA-ification of water coolers. Flat-packed, tool-free assembly, designed for apartments.
And it'll happen. The renter market is huge globally, and it's underserved by appliance manufacturers who still design for homeowners with utility rooms and dedicated plumbing. The company that cracks this, a genuinely good-looking, compact, renter-friendly compressor cooler, is going to sell millions of units.
Until then, the listener has a shopping list and a decision tree. That's a solid outcome for a prompt about wanting cold water.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1907, a pigment chemist on the Chatham Islands accidentally rediscovered a lost theorem by Sophie Germain while analyzing the optical properties of manganese violet. The theorem concerning the vibrational modes of elastic surfaces had been published in 1816 and promptly forgotten by everyone except Germaine herself, who died in 1831 believing none of her work on elasticity had been taken seriously. It hadn't.
A vindication delivered 800 kilometers east of New Zealand, 76 years too late for her to know about it.
The universe has a strange sense of dramatic timing.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flumintop. If you found a great water cooling solution for your rental, or if you tried one of our recommendations and have thoughts, email us at prompts@myweirdprompts.com.
Find every episode at myweirdprompts.com or search My Weird Prompts on Spotify. We'll be back next week with another one.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.